Well, welcome to my spring sablé. Okay, this is the first decent red wine I've had for a considerable time. And I just popped down to a corner shop and I was able to buy, this is for the weekend and this is to go with the, it's a Côte de Rainvillage. I bought a rump steak, which looks particularly good. It was only £4.50, so I'm just about to do that in a moment. And I bought 10 rashers of delicious-looking unsmoked back bacon, chicken breast fillets with broccoli for tomorrow, some tomatoes, which I'm going to fry, and a slow-cooked beef joint with rich red wine and beef gravy, which is going to be ready in 30 minutes. And it's £6.50. I think it's particularly good value because it's over a pound of meat. Right, and the chicken breast fillets were £2.48. So that was all good value. So that's 3 days of meat meals. I'll have the bacon with everything. And then I'll go shopping again on Monday. So I've got a little bit of a Côte de Gascogne left, which would go nicely with the chicken breast fillets. And obviously I want to drink the Village with the two beef meals. So let's get inside of this. It's Morrison's the best. Sablé. Côte de Rainvillage 2024, and it's got a nice bottle with a special, you know, blob on it, which is sablé with the village a shield, which has a tower, a castle tower in it, which is rather splendid, and it's 14.5%. Now, if you've got a Côte de Rainvillage and it's 14.5%, you know you're going to have one fecking good weekend, okay? I mean, obviously, buy lots more if there's lots more of you. And so this one says, and this is always, you know, it's like, well, what does it say? Because they deliberately print it on two colours that you can't read. It's so small. And, you know, anyway, it says it's full of raspberry, black currant and black and red, white pepper, sorry. And it thinks it would go well with a sausage casserole or mushroom tagliatelle. Well, isn't that just too bad? The inspiration behind the best wine collection, blah, 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 is probably not telling us anything. We want to squint our eyes and read. So the only way we're going to find out about this particular wine is by opening it up and having a jolly good investigation of it. And so what I've done is I've specially washed up my Merlot Masterclass glass, which is particularly good for Bordeaux, but it does work really well for very rich wines usually, although it's shaped incredibly beautifully, but it never gives me any nose. That's a fault of the glass, I think, whereas this other one, my Universal glass, they're both Dartington crystal, because I only want to drink good wines out of crystal. This has got a truncated bottom and really very narrow funnel. And what happens is it shoots the aroma of the wine right out and up your nostrils before you could say Jack Robinson fell down a mine shaft and wished he hadn't. So this is, you know, a cork, and I'm just going to remove the cork, and I'm going to indulge in some idle chitter-chatter about Côte de Rainvillage. No, I'm not. The only village that I really know well is Vacherey, and that's not to say I've been there, but I feel that I've indulged the essence of having been there through drinking a good many of their wines. But, you know, really and honestly, any of the village, if it's got a name, it's almost certain to be a very splendid red wine and not one to be taken lightly, because, you know, even if you like Bordeaux, you're still going to be blown away by the sheer living dynamite, which is Côte de Rainvillage. Right, the weekend's begins. So just dab a little bit into each glass and give it a whirl. So it's giving me some sort of really dark raspberry blackcurrant looks. Okay. Ooh, I can smell it from here. Yeah, it doesn't come across as looking like a particularly full-bodied wine, actually. Although I'm sure it is. We'll have a look in a moment. So I'm going to place it tastefully on my Kent and East Sussex map. Okay. And, it's surprising when you've got a wine like this that they don't take a bit more effort to tell you all about it on the bottle. I mean, it hasn't given me any indication at all as to what the grapes are, so I'm going to guess that it's mainly Grenache and Syrah, such as only Côte d'Or can do, and then it will have some other, it may well have Mourvèdre in it, and maybe something else, but it's a little bit lacking for something called the best. It was £10.75 from a corner shop, Morrison's. Right, it's looking fantastic in the glass, so I'm just going to take a photograph of that, and then I'm going to taste it, without further ado, as it were. So let me just do that. Sorry, chitter-chattering away and then photographing. Right. 2 seconds, sorry. I'm just taking a couple of photographs. So get a good impression. It's quite difficult. Set it up just right so you get the light on the glasses. I do beg your pardon. There we go. One more of the wine bottle. Awesome. Right, okay, so sorry for that delay, but let's get inside of this magnificent looking wine and fantastic aroma coming to me from, I won't say halfway across the room, but it's an arm's length, for goodness sake. Right, so here we are with the Masterclass glass, and it's giving me altogether a really lovely black cherry, and I cannot see at all through the glass. There's no hope of seeing whether or not I've got fingers the other side. So that's definitely giving me a dark, dark red, which has got incredible ruby port notes on it, and it just feels incredibly warming and sensuous in my hand before I've even so much as nosed it. Okay. Now, this glass is just the worst for the nose, but the wine is so fabulously throwing blackcurrant, sharp, tart blackcurrant at me. And also some of that wonderful forest mulch, with the slight sort of muddiness underneath that only the Rhone can. And also, the idea of some forest mushrooms. In fact, I can smell them sizzling in the pan. Does one smell sizzles? Well, I can. And there's bags of spice in there. Really, it's coming out of the sewer. I mean, massive pepper, but also tarragon and a bit of cardamom as well. So I just want to nose the other one before I actually taste some. I'm sorry. I haven't had a wine like this for so long. It's an incredible indulgence. So this is the universal glass. This one, conversely, is giving me nothing on the nose at all. That's probably because the other one gave me everything. Yeah, I'm not getting a great deal out of that. It's odd, actually. And I've never done this before, but I'm just holding the glasses on their bottom. I really am. I'm stroking their bottoms. And I just get the most magnificent feel out of the Bordeaux glass today, and not getting much out of the universal glass at all. It's really very strange. It's like someone trying to read out of a crystal ball or something. where they've got two balls, you know. Because, if you are going to have balls at all, you might as well have two of them, mightn't you? And here we go. Let's knock it back. Well, of course, I'm not going to really knock it back. I'm just going to lightly sip and swirl it around the inside of my mouth and see how it goes down. Wow. So, even if you can't see whether or not a wine is full-bodied, and full-bodied isn't just the fact you can't see through it, whereas with all the cheap wines, you can horribly see through them. That doesn't mean they're bad quality wines. You know, I had a Rheinhessen Pinot Noir, which was the most incredible dark pink, and you could see straight through it, but it was a magnificent wine, and that was, you know, it was a real surprise. And it was perfect for a summer picnic in the park. But this would be the complete opposite of that. So it's very, very dark red. And, you know, I'm getting masses of sort of forest notes, but also tons of tart black currant on the nose. And it's not exactly clinging to the roof of my mouth. It's like it's punching it outwards, you know, and it's just like it's lingering in my mouth and it wants to say a whole lot more. So I've got to allow it to do that by taking another sip, and then I'll talk about the finish. So the texture of it is, you know, it's a massive cloying velvet. And it actually hits the back of the roof of my mouth much more than it does on the finish when you just throw it down your throat, you know. And the finish is good. Right, all round, it compares with a really massive Australian Shiraz. But it's got all of the sort of tenacity and the tradition of the best of the Rhone. Without going any further, I've given you some ideas with the Tarragon and the Cardamom, and, you know, that's almost understated. There's a lot more going on in there. And then there's just tons of the really pleasant sort of forest ideas, you know, oak leaves, quite new ones, and some hedgehog droppings, actually. And so that's, you know, sort of, I feel that I'm in the Forest of Arden right now. I'm near Chalcote, which is the other side of Stratford-on-Avon. Immediately that I touch this wine, that's where I feel I am. I'm in the Forest of Arden. And that makes me wonder whether perhaps I shouldn't go to the Forest of Arden, okay? Because it's a wonderful place for trees, but also deers. And we really do have some fantastic deers. They're actually fallow deer, but for some reason or other through the centuries, instead of having the normal fallow colouring, they come out as dark brown, grey, black, white, tan, all sorts. I mean, sorry, you certainly get your white heart, you know, from the White Hart pubs, you get a white heart there, or easily. One night I was driving through a forest and surprised a little white Bambi. It just stood in my car headlights. Fortunately, I'd stopped, you know. And, there's just tons and tons of deer in that area. They're always getting knocked out by cars. Not mine, because I'm careful. But a lot of drivers aren't careful. And anyway, we're warbling on about the Forest of Arden. But that's very much what this wine puts me in mind of. This is a wine I would say that would be excellent all year round, but my gosh, you know, you'd have to have one of the biggest, fattest ribeyes or T-bone steak for it, you know, to do justice to a barbecue, because, well, the barbecue just won't do justice to it. I mean, it's not a wine you'd have with, dear me, sausages and burgers. Not that those ever enter into my life. Just out of curiosity, when I was down the shop, I had a look at the ingredients of the quarter pound burgers, and they were 78% beef, so you wonder what the other 22% is, and part of it was rapeseed oil. I mean, you know, passing off rapeseed oil as beef is a bit clumsy, isn't it? But let us not talk about such horrible moments and just get on with this wine. This is an all-round wine. It's just utterly brilliant. I can't believe I found such an amazing wine in a corner shop that's got like 12 wines to choose from, you know. I mean, I was sort of half thinking, should I get the £4.99 Tempranillo? Because, you know, at the end of the day, most of them aren't much better than that, even if they cost five times as much. And this one just grabbed me. And so I just grabbed it. And it was really love at first sight. And I must admit, love at first kiss also. So coming out of my Bordeaux glass, if you like, is just... it's so opulent. You know, I actually feel like a medieval princess wearing a prince's crown. And I've changed into a suit of armour. And I've got a very long sword. Which is almost too heavy for me, quite honestly. But we won't worry about that. And a shield with one red lion on it on a white background with... a red border, and I'm just going to go and slay everyone, do you know, because you could in the Middle Ages, nobody fussed about it, it's just, oh, there's Princess Red Lion slaying people again, it really is like that, the village is getting into my system, and I just don't feel life's going to give me anything unless I've got a really nice gold crown with sapphires and amethyst and rubies, emeralds, and that sword and the armor. I love armor because it clanks a little bit. It's really good. Imagine wearing, you know, your plumbing, but wearing it as if it was clothes. Absolutely fantastic. Weren't they wonderful in those days? You know, and they went around, you know, slaying dragons. I mean, that's why we don't have any dragons now. It's sad, isn't it? But they've been slayed, most of them. And some of them ended up, you know, in the moat of the castle. If you're going to have a suit of armour and a really good sword and a shield, and a crown, of course, you must make sure you've got a castle, which has got a drawbridge. And also it ought to have a portcullis, at least one. But I recommend a series of, say, 15 portcullises, you know, just in case the first one didn't hack the head off the shoulders of your guests. Yes, I mean, I dread to think what would happen if they came in the back entrance, but we were, I mean, maybe we could just not have a back door or something, you know, this is probably wise, but anyway, going on to the universal glass, let's see if we get anything out of this, because usually one of the glasses, and you can't tell which it is, you know, will give me so much more out of the wine. And I'm just admiring its sexy legs, actually, as it drips down into the wine from the middle of the glass. It's a jolly sexy wine, actually. Sensual, anyway. It's sensual. Yeah, so, you know, I have to choose which glass is going to be the one for the evening. And when I finish gas bagging, I'm going to, you know, wok fry the rump steak with back bacon and tomato. They don't go in for vegetables down there in a big way. You can have a bag of three onions, but they're terribly small. And you can have a little bag of potatoes if you want them, which I didn't. And then you're just left with... there wasn't any mushrooms. You're left with broccoli and tomatoes and perhaps very old bananas, if you could call those a veg, but I don't. Anyway... no, it's not giving me anything at all out of this glass. Incredible. I have to say this every time I taste a wine. For goodness sake, do yourself a favour and choose two very different, a round bottom and a truncated bottom glass and even a tumbler to try the wine out of. You'll be absolutely amazed. It's the glass. Every single time. And it oughtn't to be glass. Listen, it ought to be crystal. But it's the glass that's going to give you everything that the wine has to offer. So why would you cheapskate on a glass? You have no idea what the wine is until you've found the best glass. And it's as difficult as being a medievalist kissing frogs in a forest full of briar roses and trying to find the one princess that's asleep that's going to fulfill all your dreams, marital and hopefully extramarital as well, just to save you the bother of, you know, having a string of mischievous and lustful mistresses. It's that type of wine. I mean, it's really, it's touching places most wines never go with me, you know. It's definitely a Pre-Raphaelite wine. I couldn't, you know, name one particular person, but probably, you know, it always ends up being Edward Burne Jones because of the Briar Rose series, you know. And I mean, it was, and those nymphs, although I have to say John Waterstone was it. I mean, his nymphs are something else, aren't they? You could just, oh, you could just enjoy without actually touching the, you know, the nestling cherry nipples of his divine little waterborne nymphs. And also, I do quite like Ford Madox Brown. I do think he's massively underrated, but, you know, his women and the men have such sensual, full-bodied, really red cheeks, and their eyes protrude, you know, as though life were damn hard and earnest. Well, it was in those days. And they were on a boat. Luckily, she'd got a sable and a... what are those things called that you put your hands in? I forget. One of those, you know. You put both hands in. It's sort of a roll thing. And you put both hands in. It's called, I don't know, it might be called a muff or something. I forget. But anyway, it's not a ruff, no. And it's not just ordinary stuff. It's you know, it's made of mink or something. And it keeps your hands warm. It's clever. It's before they invented gloves, you know, or mittens. And they're going on a boat to the New World because the Old World doesn't like them and they owe a lot of money. And then they've been kicked out by great uncle Percival. He's not, you know, he just doesn't like the young man because he doesn't like the woman. He thinks the woman is beneath the young man. And so he just doesn't want any more to do with them. And he's actually purchased them a one-way ticket to America and he's hoping they'll do good there. And that they won't come back. That's the sort of look you get from Ford Madox Brown's, you know, incredible faces. They really, you know, and the other one that does incredible faces, although I don't actually like them, is, oh, what's his name? Dear me, how can I forget? Holman Hunt. That's right, yes. It's quite easy to remember Hunt, if you think about it, because there are other words that rhyme with Hunt, and you just think of those, and then you think, oh, it's Hunt, yeah, Holman Hunt. And, I mean, Holman Hunt's great with prostitutes, shepherds, possibly shepherdesses, sheep. He's really good at sheep. And the light cast by the evening sun, he's particularly good at those. And not bad at pianos and just women that kind of, they almost lurch out of the painting at you as if they're so eager to get at you. Do you know what I mean? Even though it's been 150 years now, they're still lurching. But I do like Dante Gabriel Rossetti's, you know, the one that's brother to Christina Rossetti, who wrote some decent poetry. Pomegranate, I call it pomegranate, but I think it's called proserpine or something. But anyway, she just looks, doesn't she? She has different colour hair. He did loads of them. And her sultry lips. I mean, do you know what I mean? Well, I mean, her lips and the pomegranate and then her eyes, which are peacock coloured. They really are. No, they really are. And her hair, which she's frizzled. I think she's actually modelled on Jane Morris. And of course, Jane Morris, I suppose, was probably the mistress or wife or model of William Morris. But they all wanted a bit of her because she had that amazing nose, that look that just said, I can't be bothered. I'm in the class of person that's got servants to do that kind of thing. And I'm trying to have a pleasant afternoon reading poetry, you know, in my hammock on the croquet lawn. And all you lot want to do is come and play croquet and annoy me. And if you would like to reposition my hammock over by the cedars, and then perhaps we could all have some decent lemonade and cucumber sandwiches when you're all quite finished. And actually what she doesn't realise is that Rossetti's just set up his easel behind and he's capturing her, you know, her wanton look. And he's turned it into another one of his pomegranate paintings, which are so full of mystique, sensual charm, and they just, if a painting could be a wine, it's that one. I say that one, he did loads of them. I don't think it's, that's not actually Jo Moyes. That's that woman beginning with a Z. Oh, dear me, I don't claim to be a great authority on the women models of the Pre-Raphaelites. But what I'm saying is, this wine reminds me of both The Forest of Arden, which of course reminds me of Shakespeare, and what was her name? Anne Hathaway. And if you really think that actress is called Anne Hathaway, dear me. And anyway, it's a boy. So, you know, there are little conspiracies everywhere you look in life, but if you want, if you really want a few days where you just go back in time, you must to the Forest of Arden go. Hey ho, the holly, this life is most folly. Pom 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 pop. One of those, you know, as you like it. Because if you get into the Forest of Arden, if you can find it, you will meet Rosalind, who's something love was most unkind, and she wrote little lover's notes, and the chap whose name I've completely forgotten, but it wasn't Touchstone or Audrey. I can remember them, you know. He reads her notes and he gets all excited by them. And then, because there's only so much you can do with a scene like that, Touchstone and Audrey come in with the shepherd who's talking about sheep copulating, and of course Touchstone takes it up, and eventually comes out with this marvellous drivel which goes, all the world's a stage and the men and women merely players, each have their exits and their entrances, or it might be the other way around, and one man in his part time plays many parts. He talks about the baby mewling and puking in its nurse's arms, and the schoolboy without many charms who goes to school, and so on, and it's totally fascinating, and it's one of those sort of, you know, speeches that you'd think I would have memorized by now, but I haven't. And the other one about the Sea of Troubles was Hamlet. And I don't like Hamlet. I know he's the Prince of Denmark, but it doesn't mean I have to like him. Do you know what I mean? So just going back to the wine for a moment. Thank you for taking a bit of time with me. Listen. Just what I have to say is, grab yourself the best looking wine. You know, you look at the cheap ones, you think, which one should I have? And you think, what is the point? You might as well just pour some water out of the tap and put a raspberry in it. Buy the best wine in the shop. This was by far the best wine in the shop, and even if they'd had others more expensive, this would still have been the best wine in the shop, because I chose it, and it is. I haven't heard of Sablé before, but I have to recommend it highly. You can get it at your local Morrison's corner shop, if you're lucky. If you're unlucky, I will have been there just a day before and snaffled it all up. Never mind. And you know, you can also be thinking about beautiful medieval people, the Walter Delamere, was it, who wrote that wonderful enigmatic and mesmeric poem about the listener in the woods or something. Is there anybody there? Cried the traveller as he stamped on the moonlit floor. No, I think it was his horse that stamped. But I mean, all those things coming to my mind through just sampling this. I can't rate it highly enough. It's only £10.75. I mean, good grief. Do you know what I mean? People pay a lot more for that, for subscriptions to porn channels, just to go off on a, you know, watching a couple of people act like animals, for goodness sake. And you can get a real thrill out of, well, Pre-Raphaelite paintings and poetry. And this Sablé Cote de Rome Village. So if you do have a soul, you're going to understand what I mean. You're going to feel all, you know, fallow deer in lots of different colours, and it's almost like an artist's palette of forest-dwelling fallow deer. And you might like to stay at the Landmark Trust's Bath House, which is where I'm talking about, where I saw all these deer and everything. It's in the Forest of Arden. It's really good. Landmarktrust.org.uk or something. Anyway, it's the one with the bath underneath it. Really, no, it really does have a bath underneath it. It's also got a bath above it, you'll be glad to hear, because, you know, you might not want the cold bath underneath, you might prefer a hot bath upstairs. It's just glorious, and it's got shells everywhere. I mean, they're really big ones, you know what I mean, ones that are bigger than your hand. And it's the perfect place to take one of these. In fact, I'm beginning to think about that now. I'm thinking, what a marvellous idea that would be for my birthday in November. The Forest of Arden. And the load of Côte de Rhône Village. Yeah, it's a wine that's going to tickle your fancy and your, you know, pre-Raphaelite medievalisms. It really will. And if you're one of those sad people that just subscribes to porn, stop it. Get yourself some decent wine and start raising your mind above the gutter is about all I can say about it. Anyway, just one last little ching, ching. Thank you very much for looking in. This is a very, very special wine for me as I haven't drunk or eaten anything really for 4 months. And suddenly somebody gave me some money back. Oh, thank goodness for that. So I rushed down the road and spent it on beef and wine. Why wouldn't I? Why not? Ah. Always taste wines, whatever wine you buy, don't buy the cheap ones, for goodness sake. Just taste them from two completely different shaped glasses or crystals better, because you are sabotaging your life's joy, right? You've opened a wine. How many more are you going to open that evening? And why would you drink them from anything less than the very, very best glass that's going to knock out all the nose, just what I said, this one doesn't, it has, and all of the joy of remembering your favourite paintings, poems, and places where you can go and stay and dip your toes into practically a Roman bath, really is. I mean, it's quixotic, it's romantic, it's pre-Raphaelite in absolute spadefuls, and, or was it shovels, and Or pail. No, what did they have? They didn't have buckets, they had pails. And they didn't have spades, they had snail? No, I don't know. Imagine having like a little tribe of snails and you actually taught them, trained them up to do the digging that a shovel would do if you didn't have the snails. The Romans did that at Chedworth Villa, but I don't want to go all Roman on you, but if you do get a chance to visit Chedworth, it's worth understanding that in the forest next to it are a colony of European land snails that were brought over here by the Romans, and they're still going strong. And that just shows, doesn't it, 2,000 years. You would not believe how long a snail can live if it's escaped from the Romans' nasty little habit of, you know, guzzling them with garlic and wine and probably herbs as well. Right, that's enough for historical nonsense. Learn. Get the best wine in the shop. Get the best meat in the shop. Forget the vegetables. Just buy bacon. That's the vegetable of the day. And try your wine in different glasses. But for goodness sake, if you're going to buy and enjoy wine, you know, this one that I'm drinking out of now, the Merciful Masterclass glass, is £25 worth of damn good blown crystal. Right? It's blown me away.